Hey, this is D-Knight.
This is Ty.
And Carol is experiencing emotional distress after having watched Trump be sworn in as president of the United States for the second time. And you're listening to the Part of the Insurrection podcast, where it's no longer a joke. Trump is actually part of the insurrectionists. The joke is becoming real.
Jesus.
We've been warning you for years that while the title of this podcast was tongue-in-cheek.
But we need to add an S to it. Pardon the insurrectionist. That now that's our continuation.
He's done it. It's official. We'll get to that momentarily. So, it has been quite a week. The Jack Smith report dropped. TLDR, he fucking did it. I think that's pretty clear at this point. There was a lot of evidence to suggest that Trump would have been likely found guilty if he had ever made it to trial. But because a bunch of idiots in America decided to defeat America by voting for the insurrectionists, he's not going to be held accountable for those actions. And one of his first acts while he was in office, by the end of the day, he had issued numerous pardons to a thousand people, a thousand criminals.
Oh, it was like 1,600.
All of them.
Plus,
and maybe a little bit more than a dozen commutations. This included clemency for individuals who were engaged in violent activity on January 6th, including assaulting police officers, individuals from the Oath Keepers who were found guilty of seditious conspiracy.
Proud Boys, Enrique Tarrio.
Yes, I
heard I was listening to Legal as Fuck, because I have a crush on Popoc.
Legal AF, they don't call it Legal as Fuck.
He was like,
I will tell Ben,
he was already pouring it up in Miami celebrating.
Right. I will tell Ben to inform Michael Popoc that you indeed have a crush on him. So Trump was asked about the pardoning of the individuals convicted of violent crimes on January 6th. And his comments, of course, are extraordinarily infuriating. I hate this fucker. What were we thinking, America? What were you guys doing?
It's relating to events that occurred on January 6th, 2021.
Okay. And how many people is this?
I think this order will apply to approximately 1,500 people, sir.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon. Full pardon. Full pardon. We have about 6 commutations in there where we're doing further research. Nice to see you again.
All right, that's Trump signing the pardons, even though he had previously said before he took office that they would discuss pardons on an individual basis. They would look at the accusations, the crimes that individuals were convicted of before receiving a pardon. And it turns out, as per the usual, that was a total fucking lie. He signed a blanket pardon for nearly all of them with a handful of commutations.
Even the ones that fucking pled guilty to assaulting fucking police officers. I just literally can't.
It's extraordinarily disheartening. Look, these are traitors to the United States of America. Let's be clear, regardless of what they were convicted for, what they were doing at the Capitol on January 6, 2021, is attempting to stop the legislative branch from transferring power from one president to the other. And that is the very definition of attack on the United States, an attack on the Constitution, and an attempt to basically overthrow democracy. Any transfer of power would, in effect, in democracy. Now, I know this sounds hyperbolic. I might have said it a couple of times on here, but so 9/11, widely held, is the most impactful attack on the United States, or at least terrorist attack on the United States in American history. I think it's number two, actually, because regardless of how successful Al-Qaeda might have been on 9/11, even if the plane had hit the Pentagon, and another plane had hit the Capitol, and another plane had hit the White House and the two towers, so on and so forth. Yeah, it was extraordinarily destructive, and a lot of people died. And, you know, if they had managed to kill Congress and, you know, kill military officials and somehow even managed to take out the president, if a plane that successfully struck the White House, our democracy would have survived, right? We would have just elected new officials. We would have elected a new president. We would have appointed new, military officials to take the positions of those who were lost. And democracy would have continued. Like, yes, it would have been an extraordinary tragedy, and it would have definitely harmed the United States, but our democracy wouldn't have ended. If the attack on the Capitol had been slightly more successful in terms of the fact that the insurrectionists were at the Senate chambers within 5 minutes of entering the building, and they were just barely led away by one specific Black Capitol police officer. If they had made a right turn instead of a left turn to chase the police officer away, it's entirely possible that they could have not only kept Congress hostage, but maybe killed members of Congress, prevented the peaceful transfer of power, and Trump would have been a dictator. And that would have absolutely ensured the end of our democracy, because after that, we certainly would have had would not have had a 2020 election. And I mean, you think about that in the context. Well, think about that in the context of the fact that we knew what happened. We all watched it play out live on television. And then 4 years later, we, through the electoral process, we put that person back in power. It's absolutely mind-boggling, insane. Like, I don't understand what people were thinking, like why people's memories are so short. Obviously, propaganda is super effective. I feel like not that the Democratic Party are the bad guys in this regard, I guess just because we have two sets of standards for each party. I feel like I expected the Democratic Party to spend more time ensuring that the memory of January 6th never left the public's mind. And they decided, for electoral purposes, I suppose, to no longer focus on January 6th, on a violent insurrection that nearly ended American democracy. And they left a space, and all of the right-wing media filled it with the idea that January 6th was a hoax, or it was led by Democrats, or there were,
you know, or the FBI, it was a psyop, and all of that bullshit.
All of that, and contradictory messages saying that the people who did attack the Capitol on January 6th, they were hostages, they were innocent, there were show trials. And the problem with leaving opportunities for Republicans to spread disinformation is, if enough people say it in, over the course of enough amount of a time, it tends to change people's minds, or at least cloud their ability to discern fact from fiction. And it's just an unfortunate error in judgment on behalf of the Democratic Party. Just letting Trump off the hook for this politically, because, I mean, again, this is just, we're at a point in time where I don't understand. Like, this is the only person I've ever seen that doesn't face any political consequences. If this was literally anyone else.
Man, all Howard Dean did was give a fucking hearty yeah, and he was
out of there. We got him out of there, Ty. He was done. Career over.
He was cooked. No one, I don't even know if he's still alive. I've heard that's zero bananas about Howard Dean since then. Like, he
nothing. We've heard nothing from him. Just done. Out of the public spotlight forever, like you said. Like, you, and when you said it, I was like, actually, I don't know if he's alive either. So it's entirely possible he might no longer be with us. I wouldn't know, because no one's going to be like, rest in peace, Howard Dean, when he passes. He's not going to get.
He's going to get all the accolades that Herman Cain got.
You're right. There's not going to be flags at half staff commemorating the death of Howard Dean. Yeah, it's we live in the most insane of times. Obviously, Trump being back in the White House means absolute chaos. It didn't take long, but as he was sworn in on Inauguration Day, there were a number of just absolutely insane mishaps, like him taking the oath of office without swearing with his hand on the Bible. But though it's entirely possible that if he had touched that Bible, he might have burst into flames.
Like there was a stack on the Resolute desk of executive orders. I am more concerned about those that legacy media has not talked about.
Right. Yeah, we'll get to that as they come. There were numerous executive orders, however, that were extraordinarily damaging. One with Trump trying to end birthright citizenship through executive order. I mean, basically eliminating the 14th Amendment, although the Supreme Court already neutered half of it as we speak, by not only granting Trump presidential immunity, but basically making it nearly impossible to enforce the section disqualifying any political official for acting in an insurrection without just direct legislation written by Congress. So, I mean, I don't understand why we have to write enacting legislation when, like, the thing says, if you engage in insurrection, you are hereby disqualified. I mean, I don't. The Supreme Court's out here saving Trump's ass by shitting all over the Constitution. So it's entirely possible, while people are arguing on Twitter and all of the social media platforms that, hey, he can't do that by executive order, the Constitution, the Supreme Court might say otherwise. And I'm sure numerous other states at this point are already suing the Trump administration over that executive order. And it's likely going to end up in court, and because it's a constitutional issue, it's likely going to end up in front of the Supreme Court. And they might interpret the 14th Amendment in ways that don't make no goddamn sense. So for anyone saying,
that's what they do. So I would not be surprised.
No.
And that's the whole point. Like the whole point of like doing these anti-constitutional laws, executive orders, et cetera, is to get it in front of the court.
Right.
Because they're wanting the
where
court.
He's appointed two of three of his own justices, pre-vetted to, generally speaking, rule in a way that is more advantageous
to the
Republican
Party. Him and the fucking Republican Party.
Right. Like, and then Clarence Thomas and Alito, they've both been bought and paid for by a right-wing billionaire. So you've got at least four, if not five votes, generally speaking, in favor of all kinds of Trump insanity going forward for the next 4 years. And I'm sure a couple of those are going to retire and they'll be replaced by even worse people. Judge Elaine Cannon.
I have a Elaine Cannon and Judge Kaczmarek in Texas, who sits on the Fifth Circuit of Appeals, and he's
like the one judge in the circuit. Yeah. And so a lot of times Republicans will try and file suits in his district specifically because it'll go to his court and he'll rubber stamp all kind of ridiculous shit.
Yeah.
So Trump's also withdrawn the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accord, a horrific disaster for combating climate change, even though we've recently seen numerous natural disasters here, not just over the course of the past few years, but even as recently as a couple of weeks ago with those massive that massive fire on the outskirts of LA there. Withdrawing the United States from the World Health Organization,
the fucking CEO of Exxon was like, yeah, no.
Well, you know, when the oil tycoons,
CEO of fucking oil and gas company saying, yeah, don't pull out of the Paris Climate Accords.
Yeah, not great there. Not great at all. We've got a brand new Muslim ban, although it's disguised to appear as though it is not a Muslim ban. It is, in fact, a Muslim ban. You know, if you're here in the country, on a FISA or such, and you were engaging in pro-Palestinian protests, you are likely going to be deported. And I'm sure they're going to extend that to American citizens.
Here's looking at you, uncommitted.
Biden's executive order allowing Medicare to negotiate lower drug prices, that's gone. So expect to pay, you know, $300-$500 for a month's supply of insulin. Kudos to all you Trump voters out there who have diabetes.
Yes, I want you to have to look your nana in the face. Meanwhile, you're like, sorry, you can't afford your insulin. I voted for this.
It's some fuckery out there. It's all bad. Just he's only been in office for, you know, by the time you're hearing this, likely 2 days, and it's disaster after disaster, and he's just gotten started. It's unfortunate. But he did have comments on where the United States of America is going policy wise, and I'm sure this is one of the most important issues of our time, which Trump is willing to come down on one particular side of the aisle. And I don't think it's going to make the price of your eggs any cheaper whatsoever.
This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based. As of today, it will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
Guys, I don't think that's going to make your grocery prices cheaper.
No, not when I saw it was like fucking $5 for fucking dozen eggs today.
Yeah. Yep. It's only two genders in America. That's going to lower gas prices. It's going to make the price of homes cheaper, I would imagine, because there are fewer genders that need to be housed. I'm not exactly sure.
Of course. I mean, I'm pretty sure that, like, just mandating that you only recognize two genders is going to bring our gas prices way down.
Right. Also, he snuck in there that he's going to make America colorblind, which doesn't mean that race no longer exists and no longer, you know, affects people in the United States. It just means that they're going to
ignore ignore all of the racism.
Yes. From here on out, that's extraordinarily helpful to anyone of any minority in the United States who happened to also vote for Trump. You're fucked. Congratulations. You did it to yourself. Yeah. I mean, The Onion did the thing. They're like, America defeats America. That's
pretty fucking spot on.
No, but really, though, if you were concerned that Trump wasn't focused on the most important priorities facing American citizens to this day, I have some reassurance for you that he absolutely was. And we have a clip for you here.
The Panama Canal, which has foolishly been given to the country of Panama after the United States, I mean, think of this, spent more money than ever spent on a project before and lost 38,000 lives in the building of the Panama Canal. We have been treated very badly from this foolish gift that should have never been made. And Panama's promise to us has been broken. The purpose of our deal and the spirit of our treaty has been totally violated. American ships are being severely overcharged and not treated fairly in any way, shape, or form. And that includes the United States Navy. And above all, China is operating the Panama Canal. And we didn't give it to China. We gave it to Panama, and we're taking it back.
This nigga's insane, Ty.
That's
He's insane.
I swear to God, it's just made my blood boil listening to that fucker and how he lies. The way the rest of us breathe.
Endlessly.
He just throws shit out there. He
just be saying shit. It'd be crazy.
Just be saying shit. He be like, saying just shit. Saying shit. That makes no goddamn sense.
All right, so Dave Chappelle predicted this 20 years ago now, I believe, on his show, Chappelle Show, just however you feel about his sociological stances on gender in the year of our Lord 2025. He was ahead of his time in predicting the political landscape of modern day America in a skit that he did that was called Black Bush. It was like a play on George Bush's behavior was absolutely absurd, but if it had came from a black person, how it would have sounded. It was all kind of insane shit. Like, the Iraq war, for instance, he was like, yeah, we're going down there. We're going to get the oil. And then it's like, what was he saying? What's the UN going to do? You ain't got no army, right? It was all kind of crazy. We going to space. Just all kind of insane. And it's like, it's an absolute 100% parallel to the kind of insane shit Trump is doing now, except Chappelle did it 20 years ago and accurately predicted the future. He just be saying shit, man. He just be saying shit. Generally speaking, it's all lies. I mean, we've had numerous instances of this already when he said he was going to, would call up Putin and have the war in Ukraine ended in 24 hours. He's been president for longer than 24 hours at this point. Guess what? He did not call Putin. There is no agreement to have the war
ended. Putin was like, new phone, who dis?
Who dis? But in fact, he did call President Xi in China and convinced him, or at least he said that he was convincing him to ensure that the war in Ukraine ended. And I'm assuming what that means is send more aid and weapons and such to Russia to help Putin try and take over the rest of Ukraine. Also, Biden did manage to finally get a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas successfully. They practically used the language that Biden had suggested over the course of negotiations over the past year and a half. So kudos to Biden for doing that. Although to some degree, I expect the ceasefire to only last long enough to get the hostages back. And then Netanyahu will continue to try and level Gaza to the ground. So kudos to everyone who voted for Trump, because Biden could get the ceasefire on your timeline, even though he's been working on it endlessly. So that's exciting. Disaster after disaster. Whew, good God.
We're not even through January yet.
Nope.
Like, we're 3 weeks in.
And
it has already been a shit show.
Yeah, look, we're like just 2 days into the Trump administration and it's been a shit show. So there were numerous inauguration scandals, but one that was very unfortunate pertained our actual president, Elon Musk, where he made a Nazi salute and everyone on the internet.
Twice.
Yeah, well, the people set the internet ablaze. Numerous people pointing out the fact that it was a extraordinarily obvious Nazi salute, with others defending it, saying he was just sending out his heart. We will let you decide for yourselves. Ironic. Looks extraordinarily similar to the Hail Hitler salute.
Oh no, I'm getting Nazi vibes.
I mean, Nazi vibes. Not Trump quoting Hitler nearly verbatim over the course of his 2024 campaign. If that didn't do it for you, well, that should make it pretty clear there. It's extraordinarily hard to argue. Now, a lot of people were saying, well, he's just, Elon's just autistic. I know a lot of people with autism. No. None of them are Nazis.
Yeah.
No. And look, I think we played a video on a previous episode where Elon's father was talking about his Elon's mother and her parents being part of the Nazi party in Canada, and they didn't like the way the things were going. So they ended up moving to South Africa.
To apartheid, obviously. South Africa, because they wanted to do racism there.
When have you ever heard of anybody being like, yeah, I want to go to apartheid. It's awesome. Only a fucking Nazi would say some shit like that.
Would say some shit like that.
And then when apartheid failed, guess what happened? They got the fuck up out of there. That should let you know. But yeah, it's extraordinarily funny watching millions of people across the United States come to realize that the wealthiest man on the planet, who is an immigrant, by the way, is not only pro-fascism, but a straight up Nazi. It's extraordinarily incredible, although we've had like endless information that suggests that he is not a good person, that he is a bad actor. And he is out engaging in the most egregious behavior possible in order to gain power to do horrific things to the United States. And he bought him a presidency. So the Nazis won. It took them nearly 80 years, but they finally figured out a way to be victorious by slipping through the cracks and biding their time and amassing a fortune. And now the president of the United States is what we got our first president from Africa. Unfortunately, it's a white guy from apartheid. So, yeah, ace job. Ace job, America. You did it.
We had one fucking job.
And we fucked it up.
Yep.
And I say we, and what I really mean is them fuckers. Because I voted for Kamala Harris. I voted for Joe Biden. I was going to vote for Joe Biden again. But a bunch of insiders in the party and the media decided that they only wanted a one-term presidency out of Biden, and they got that and ensured the electoral victory of Trump. So here we are. So one other thing about Trump pardoning the insurrectionists, well, a couple of things, right? So typically speaking, in fascist countries, you know it's all over when the militias become a substitute for law enforcement. And Trump pardoning his own private army, or at least some of the people who led the insurrection, are all, for all intents and purposes, part of his army. It does two things. It says that if you're willing to break the law in my name, you won't be held accountable, which gives people license to engage in violence in all kinds of ways that maybe law enforcement would be held accountable for, and now these people won't. And then two, like, if you're a Republican member of Congress, you were there on January 6th, and you saw a mob attempt to murder you in cold blood in order to keep Trump in power, it is like a flashing red signal saying, hey, Trump's probably going to try and kill you again. Right. Because so I would assume a lot of Republicans in Congress are like, well, we're not going to do anything to impede, you know, Trump's wishes, which means he's going to be emboldened to do more and more insane shit because there won't be any resistance. And if they're going to become a rubber stamp to that, well, at some point, Trump is going to feel like, well, why do I even need the rubber stamp? Why don't I just get rid of Congress and become full on dictator?
Exactly. Exactly. Which is exactly what he intends to do. I mean, that's in Project 2025, how he can circumvent the checks and balances of powers, get around Congress to do whatever evil fuckery he wants to do.
Right. Yep. And he's going to find a way. Also, so over the course of the past weekend, there was all just an unlimited amount of insanity surrounding the TikTok ban that was passed by Congress and signed into law by President Biden. But if you're media literate, you would know the origin of the TikTok ban began with the Trump administration. And for proof, like, we have a video here of Trump on numerous occasions stating his support for the ban on TikTok.
When I wanted to disable TikTok 3 years ago, I was met with opposition from rhinos, Democrats, and everyone else. They actually went to court in an effort to stop me.
We're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok. We may be doing some other things. There are a couple of options, but a lot of things are happening. So we'll see what happens. But we are looking at a lot of alternatives with respect to TikTok.
We gave them until September 15th. After that, they got to close shop. Okay, that's TikTok.
All right, so the ban went into effect this weekend, although President Biden said he wasn't going to do anything to enforce it. Even so, TikTok decided to shut itself down, and after which American users were greeted with a response saying it was basically unfortunate that TikTok shut down, but they were working with the Trump administration to get the issue resolved and hopefully bring TikTok back to Americans. Now, Biden is still in office at this point, right? So Biden saying that he wasn't going to enforce the ban means that there was no outside force responsible for TikTok shutting down. They just made the decision to turn the fucking thing off. And then the very next day, Sunday, while Biden was still off in office, they cut TikTok back on and said, thanks to the Trump administration, the issue with the ban was resolved and they would be resuming service in the United States. This was a fucking propaganda ploy to win Trump some favorability with, you know, young voters and young Americans who use TikTok and create content and whatnot. It's straight up bullshit. So if you're using TikTok as we speak, you have ample evidence to suggest to you that even though TikTok wasn't shut down because it's property of, well, I know ByteDance isn't technically property of the Chinese Communist Party.
No, I mean, 60% of ByteDance's owners, investors are American companies like BlackRock.
Yeah, but what you can assume from that is that it is, in fact, an arm of the Chinese government. I'm sorry. That's the only way that this could even possibly happen, that they would shut it down and try and make Biden look bad and give credit to Trump for bringing it back, even though he didn't have any involvement whatsoever with the shutting down or the services coming back online. It's a fucking psyop. Now, I have been hearing, I've been seeing some videos of content creators on TikTok posting videos and those videos being deleted or suppressed. It's not dissimilar from what Elon Musk did to Twitter when he took over, suppressed a lot of left-leaning accounts and amplified a lot of right-wing accounts. For the people who were saying TikTok is this valuable commodity and it's the way to get information out to the world, I got to tell you, look, I don't know how long that's going to last, because if they can pull the plug on your individual videos as they see fit, it really just becomes a propaganda arm. And we've got enough of that between Meta out here suppressing posts referring to Democrats and the Democratic Party. You know, those have been non-searchable. Obviously Elon and Twitter and just other social media platforms being used to suppress the voice of people who are trying to inform the American public about issues in the United States politically and otherwise. It's not looking great, Ty. We're going to be in for a long 4 years here, because the mainstream media is not going to do us any favors. They're not going to do their jobs. And now social media is bought by a bunch of either right-wing billionaires or under the control of foreign adversaries who are, in essence, probably trying to bribe Trump in a favorable U.S. policy at the expense of the American public. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'm still just like, I don't know, reeling. I'm just trying to wrap my head around all of this and how the right has co-opted every media outlet, platform.
Washington Post journalists are quitting by the hundreds.
Kim Jong-un he's jealous right now.
He is. He's like, damn, y'all, you guys are doing it better over there in America than I do over here in North Korea with the.
Yeah, like seriously, like there is no from Prince to, you know, the TV news, social media. They've all been co-opted by the right wing and the gaslighting and the lies that we are going to be bombarded with for the next 4 years. It's going to be fucking insane. Like on next level insane. I mean, Hitler was able to do it like with just fucking the Stormer, you know, like he didn't have all of these platforms that are available today to.
They didn't, but so in theory, I guess the analog for social media and, you know, TV news outlets such as Fox at that time would have been newspapers and radio. And one of the first things the Nazi Party did when they came into power, even though they won a minority of the vote, is they took over media, radio and print journalism specifically. Now, they didn't outright control all the media outlets to begin with, but they were pumping disinformation through various channels that they did have control over. And it they took the Steve Bannon approach of flooding the zone with shit. Right. So even though there were outlets, you know, printing accurate information, there was so much disinformation mixed in with what people were consuming that it was difficult to discern truth from untruth, fact from fiction. And they used that to kind of empower themselves politically. And, you know, by the time there was another election, they won that handily, and the rest was history. You know, the United States is about to experience a similar state. I mean, we're in the age of disinformation as it is, but it's only going to get worse from here. And so there's this, I know this is, sounds ridiculous, but there was a video game once upon a time. I mean, I guess it's been over 20 years now since the release of this video game that also kind of accurately predicted in some ways what we're experiencing. Was it's called Metal Gear Solid, right? Two, I believe. So the premise of the game is that there's a secret organization working behind the scenes that's puppeteering numerous governments across the world. A handful of rich people used a massive fortune to create numerous agencies and companies and all kinds of things to orchestrate a plan to kind of control the flow of information all across the world. Because if you control people's access to information, you can control what they think, what they do, how they act, so on and so forth. And it culminated in a plan to create like this massive AI machine that could automatically filter out anything that they might find harmful to whatever their plans were, and then replace that information with inundane things that kind of distract the masses. Long story short, it you could look at it as like a counterpart to how social media today works, with all of the people in control at this point pledging their loyalty to Trump and doing whatever he deems whatever he requires of them in order to maintain power in exchange for financial gain. It's extraordinarily disheartening. I know Biden the other day used the word oligarchy. I'm not entirely sure Americans even know what that word means. And I can tell you that they likely don't. And by the fact that like Google searches for the word or oligarchy skyrocketed. And this is like similar to how on election day, you know, Google searches for the phrase "Did Biden drop out?" Hit their peak. Not when Biden dropped out. Not over, you know, the course of the weeks when Kamala Harris was named the nominee. Not during the DNC convention. Like, this is how little attention people pay. Like, the phrase "Did Biden drop out?" Google searches for that phrase hit an absolute peak on fucking election day. That's where this country is in terms
and
of its
parents. Like right after he was elected.
Oh, but yeah.
Searches for what are tariffs?
People waited until after they voted to figure out what the fuck it was that they voted for.
I can't. Like,
dumbest country. But let's explain how dumb it is, because it's even worse than you could possibly imagine. So over the course of the weekend, a couple of days before Trump was sworn into office, he launched a shit coin called, you know, Trump. It's got a Trump meme coin, the value of which skyrocketed to, I think, somewhere over $60 billion in one evening. I don't know what it's sitting at now, but it reached a peak the valuation of Trump shares of his coin was somewhere around $60 to $70 billion. After which, Melania Trump launched her own meme coin, which destabilized the value of the Trump coin. So investors lost numerous billions of dollars after seeing it skyrocket to absurd amounts.
And then it dropped like 60% like the next day.
Well, that was thanks to Melania, right? So that gambit enriched Melania and Trump and his family and inner circle to the tune of tens of billions of dollars. Trump is now officially a billionaire, at least on paper. You know, I don't know how much of the value of the coin.
For the first time in his life.
Yeah, he's an actual billionaire. Yeah, I don't know how much of the coin they've sold off at this point, but last I checked a couple of days ago, it was more than $500 million. So he's basically taken a $500 million bribe, because we don't know where a large majority of the money that was pumped into Trump's coin came from. But we do know a huge chunk of it in terms of tens of billions of dollars originated from Chinese trading markets. So theoretically, this is a method through which foreign governments can just put money directly into Trump's pocket, and it's nearly untraceable. It's not completely untraceable, but it's difficult to untangle that.
Well, it will be with this incoming DOJ. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is never going to get investigated, but this was basically Trump enriching himself to the tune of billions of dollars through the White House. I mean, that's what it is. And at this point, you know, anyone who wants, you know, Trump to be an audience to their demands or their wishes or negotiations, they have a way to basically ensure that they end up with a favorable result just by purchasing some of his shit coin or engaging in business dealings with him. You know, such as what, the UAE? Is that where the new Trump Tower is going?
The Emirates, probably.
Yeah. For all those people out there who are irate that Hunter Biden shouldn't have a job because his dad was president, well, you've got Trump and his family enriching themselves with billions of dollars from unknown origins. And that's not even counting the $40 million Bezos sent to Melania Trump in exchange for her life rights.
Well, you did know, at first she was like, oh, she wasn't going to live at the White House. She was going to, but after she was on Fox and Friends, and after the Bezos deal was, she was, oh yeah, I'm going to live at the White House. It was nothing but a bribe. Because we've seen her more in the past 2 weeks than we have in a year.
We've seen her more since she got that $40 million from Bezos than we've seen since they left the White House in 2001.
Yep.
It's wild. But, you know, look, I would say that part of the reason Melania even ended up meeting Trump in the first place was due to an introduction through Jeffrey Epstein when she was a model, and I'm assuming she was paid to engage in activities with Trump. And so it all comes full circle. Money was probably the incentive to get her with Trump in the first place. And now money is incentive for her to move back into the White House with Trump now that he's been reelected.
But they said that she's going to live in her own apartment in the White House.
Well, for now, right? Because if Trump somehow manages to end birthright citizenship, considering we don't even know how Melania got hers, she's likely to be deported along with J.D. Vance's wife. She was a fucking immigrant, too. And that concludes this episode.
And Barron.
Yeah, we can tack on a couple of Trump's kids because, well, it's funny. The Republican Party has all this hate for immigrants, and yet Trump married two of them and knocked them up multiple times. And that concludes this episode of Part of the Insurrection.